With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and Arizona. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today and receive a $1,000 risk-free sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit and receive up to $500 in bonus cash. That's PropSwap.com, promo code SGP. And next, we're also brought to you by Prediction Strike. Prediction Strike is the only performance-based sports stock market where you can buy and sell shares of professional athletes. Use promo code SGPNMMA to receive a free athlete share with your first deposit of $20 or more. And of course, while you're downloading apps, make sure to download the SGPN app because it's your home for all of our free picks, news, podcasts, all of that right in the palm of your hand. Download it wherever it is you download apps.
Hi-yo, Degenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 79. All the haters who said we never would make it to 79, here we are, suckers. It's getting hard to find number-appropriate tributes, so I think for 79, I'm going to send it out to my countryman, George St. Pierre, because at UFC 79, he won the interim UFC welterweight championship by submitting Matt Hughes. So this goes out to George, plural, episode 79. And who would this hoser talking to right now be? I would be Jeff Fox, your lovely host of this year podcast. Thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. And thank you for subscribing to the MMA Gambling Podcast. That's thank you. Plus, I'm telling you that you should be subscribed to our actual feed so you can get these podcasts the second they drop rather than having to wait for them to go up on the SGPN feed. Obviously, subscribe to SGPN also because we have lots of other amazing content there. All right, this is, as promised, this is the podcast with so much MMA degenerate info and goodies that we don't need a long intro anymore like we used to. Even though long intros were fun, we have to plow through. This is all about making money. And no one is better at making money right now, on Tuesday nights at least, than my associate host. He's the bell of the ball in the SGPN Slack channel. The guys, yeah, it's all guys in the fight channel there. We need some ladies in there. If you're a lady, get into our SGPN Slack channel. There's some women in our NBA stuff, but none of the fights channel. So if you're listening to this and you're a female, get in there. Anyhow, everyone in the fight channel loves my associate host because he is the Dana White Contender Series soothsayer. I would call him a Tuesday night truther, but he doesn't want to be associated with truther and stuff. He's more of a flat earth type of guy, so we'll just leave it at that. He did it once again. He killed it with his Dana White Contender Series picks, which we will discuss very shortly. He's also known as the prettiest purple belt on the planet. He's also known as son of Ichabod the Bear Whisperer. he's also known as Barney Gumble. He's also known as Gumby. You can call him Daniel Vreeland if you like, or you can call him any of the above names because they're all – oh, he's also known as the Danimal. That's also an official name. If you want to call him Danimal, feel free. Hello, Danimal.
Hey, what's up? Let's talk about Contender Series. I don't want to waste any time because it was so good again.
Hopefully your head is not getting too big here. Yeah, everybody's loving Dan because people are like blindly some people in there are blindly just trailing your picks every week. So eventually this is not going to go well. I believe you sent me a good quote in email today, how you're going to end up, everyone's going to end up hating you if you stick around long enough. So that's eventually your luck's going to run out, right? I guess there's only what, 4 more weeks. Maybe you can ride this right out.
That is the beauty of this, that I would say, is that like this is one of those. It's not like if I had a hot streak in with the UFC picks, like you could just count on that dying at some point in time. There's like 50 events a year. Like you're not going to be hot for all that. You're hot in the contender series. You get to do 10 weeks and then you can take a little break. And I think we could carry this right to the end. That was week six. I got 4 to go. Yep. And granted, if I remember correctly, we didn't pick week one, like, straight up. But all the other weeks.
Yeah.
And week two wasn't great. But week three.
Two, I think you're, what, 2-3 or something like that, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah. 2-3. And then every week after that I've lost exactly one fight in every. Yeah.
You went 5-1, 4-1, and then 4-1, no, 3-1, and then 4-1 again this last night.
Yeah, so basically on average 4-1 every single. So in a 4 week span, I'm 16-4, which is
that's
and
one quick of them math too.
Yeah,
80%, Dan.
That's you can't really beat 80% picking MMA fights.
And you're still sticking around to host the podcast. You're not so rich that you're just gonna bugger off somewhere.
Well, maybe if that main event did kicked in for me. I mean, that was – let's just talk about that for a second because I saw some people – again, I'm going to dedicate myself to being a little bit more active in the Slack because I'm a slacker, so to speak. And you like that? I'm busting out the dad jokes now,
exactly.
Too. Look at that.
if I got all the love that you get in there, I'd be hanging out in there constantly too. So
yeah, but then do they get tired of you? That's the question, right?
Well, like, they got tired of me pretty quick. So yeah, you're a nicer person than I am. So yes,
and I'm nailing 80% too. You weren't doing
exactly.
Back to the main event. So I saw somebody in there say that they were trailing that pick because Smotrinsky was only 21 years old and they were going to go with the experience. Right. And that was the right move ultimately, right? Because I'm going to stand by the fact that I think Shimon Smotrinsky is more talented. He's got better skills. I think if that fight stayed on the feet for more than 6 seconds, I think he wins. I think if he didn't just shoot the sloppiest takedown with his head on the wrong side against an alpha male product, whereas Alpha Male is like known for their good guillotines, right? Like that's the thing. And he just was like, I wonder if I stick my head here, if that'll work. And it didn't. And it didn't fast. So I'm going to stay with the idea that if this stayed on the feet, Smotrinsky would have made me look even smarter. I would have been a clean 5-0. And but man, did I look good on the other ones though?
Sure did. No, I'm going to admit to screwing up. I know this is going to come as a shock to a lot of people, but I sometimes mess things up. It wasn't on TSN up here in Canada last night, and I was waiting for my PVR to record it for me, and I go to watch it, and it wasn't on there. So all I've seen is some clips for these fights, so I'm not going to be able to do a full fight breakdown, which I'm sure people won't care that much about. If you're listening to this, you probably watched it. So do you think the main event – do you think it was just a case of inexperience or jitters or being too eager? Yeah.
100%. Cause like he's a guy who does have some pretty good wrestling. And that shot was terrible. Like where he put his head and where he was shooting, like it was just bad. And it wasn't cause he was stung on the feet or it wasn't cause he was wobbly. You know, like it wasn't a desperation shot. It was just like jittery shot. Like he should have stayed on the feet longer, should have traded for a longer period of time. And, like, if his game plan was to shoot, which I don't think would have been the smartest game plan in the first place, like, he needed to shoot like he shot all of the other times I've seen him, and instead he, you know, stuck his head right in the easiest spot to guillotine against the guy with a good guillotine. So, somewhat disappointing. But hey, all the other picks panned out, including, you know, the two guys who I said certainly are going to deserve contracts and Fernie Garcia and Carlos Hernandez. Both of those guys won and looked great doing it and clearly won contracts. I mentioned that guy at the beginning of the night probably shouldn't get a contract, but he will because he'll finish the terrible dude from Alaska. That happened. Perfect there. You know, I picked Ugly Man Joe. Ugly Man Joe picked up the win. And I'm pretty sure I told you.
He didn't get a contract, though.
He didn't get a contract, but they are going to put him on Dana White's Looking for a Fight Fury FC coming up.
That still exists, does it?
It still exists, and I will say Fury FC is a really good promotion right now. It's like one of the better up-and-coming regional promotions. It's out of Texas. Yeah. It's got Juan Adams on it and like a whole bunch of other guys you've heard of. So, so they're going to put him on an episode of that, which is fun. And not only did I nail that pick, because I did go 4-1 officially with picks, if you were trailing my bet that we should take the over in the Ugly Man Joe fight, it hit the over by 16 seconds, which isn't much.
Right.
It's not much.
Yeah, I heard the didn't our friend Gianni didn't he have it over too?
When he picked a couple of things the same way as I did, and it made my heart sink a little bit.
Exactly.
Like I was watching it, and he was like, "I really like the over in this fight." And I was like, "Oh fuck!
what have I done wrong?
Yeah, what if I messed up? Yanni likes my pick."
Yeah, exactly.
But he must have had a hot day too. Then he must have had a hot day too.
He must have. I'm sure there's some kind of expression, I can't remember what it is, about something about the sun shining on something. do you know where I'm headed at all?
Yeah, even the sun shines on a dog's ass once in a while.
There we go. That's what I'm trying to spit out. But at least, and of course, the pick you screwed up on, who screwed you over? A Canadian, Dan.
It's always the Canadians.
Mike Millett, of course, not the football player. The
not
fighter.
Only is it a Canadian, it's a Canadian alpha male, which I feel like is a double whammy for me.
For you, and I think, where is he, Mike Millett? He's from somewhere. He's another one close to me, I think. He's like St. Catharines or Niagara Falls. He's somewhere. There seems to be a lot of fighters in that area of Ontario over by the Buffalo.
Waterdown?
I think I might be that. All these small town hicks. I'm a big city boy, but I'm pretty sure it's over that side of the world. So anyhow, Dan did good, and Dan's going to do – how's week 7 looking for you? Have you looked ahead to it?
Is there
anything you like in it?
I've taken a preliminary look at it. Part of the problem is they got a lot of movement on that card already.
Yeah, they lost someone someone we're going to talk about very shortly.
They lost two people on that. One that we're going to talk about, and one who got pulled for they didn't say what issue, but he got pulled for something. They also canceled the fight recently, so they added. They're looking for a replacement fighter for Maria Silva. They just randomly added this fight between Chris Duncan, who is supposed to fight our boy Manuel Gaksha earlier on in the year.
Right, yep.
And
yep.
He's fighting some 40-year-old dude, I think, that they found somewhere. I think somebody told me.
No.
Or there's some, like, 40-year-old dude fighting, if I'm not mistaken, on one of these cards. But so Chris Duncan's fighting, and then they found Lorenzo Hood to fight to fill in at heavyweight for Hugo Kiona, who had to fall out. So – I've been doing some preliminary looks at it, but I will say the flyweight fight on that card is going to be so freaking exciting. It's going to be one of the best fights, talent-wise, this entire year.
Fire emojis?
I would say two fire emojis.
How about a bomb? Any bomb emojis or no?
I think definitely more fire than bomb, because these guys are good. I'm not going to say they're like going to go throw caution to the wind and be wild, but it's between, if you watch The Ultimate Fighter, because it all comes back to The Ultimate Fighter. If you watch The Ultimate Fighter, it's Mitch Raposo, who is coming up from Cage Titans, which is an organization around me. He was, I believe.
Why do I know his name? Is he an Ultimate Fighter guy?
He was on The Ultimate Fighter. Yeah, he was the number one overall pick on this most recent season, but didn't win a fight. So that was a bummer. And he's going to be fighting Jake Hadley, which you might not know the name there unless you are a big Cage Warriors fan, which is, of course, the British promotion where he was the flyweight champ. He also fought once at Bellator. If I'm not mistaken, I think he was the EFC champ, which is
EFC.
Yeah, I think he beat Zulu, too, the guy who was on The Ultimate Fighter, to bring it back to The Ultimate Fighter one more time. But Hadley was supposed to fight that Claydson Rodriguez
Rodriguez.
Yeah, so he was supposed to fight Rodriguez earlier in the year, and obviously Rodriguez got his contract on that episode, and now they rebooked him with Mitch Raposo. So it's nice to see Jake Hadley, who goes by the nickname White Kong, which is pretty fun, on that card. So, yeah, a little bit of an extensive look at next week's, which obviously we'll get to on Sunday, but that's going to be a good one too.
you saying Hot Higas just tickles me to no end, Dan. That's going to be one of our
Hot Higas.
I know. I noticed. That's going to be one of our ongoing bits, I think, just like you hitting that dog you hit one time months ago. Whatever her name is. I blocked it.
She's not even my number one anymore.
No, it's
Gerald. Gerald Meerschaert third.
but I can't even remember her name again.
Montserrat Ruiz.
There, she that's a funner name to say. So, all right, well, we got some fun names coming up this week, actually.
For you to say some of them.
Oh, good. I can't wait to say some of them too. Let's get to it. But first, let's talk about WynnBET. Ready to win money and boost your odds. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. Bringing the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards right at your fingertips. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, and sports from NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, golf, MMA, WNBA, college football, and more. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET. From boosted parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, we have what you need to win. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer, risk-free, $1,000 sports bet. Download Bet Win. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com to start winning. And we're brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Go check out the new PropSwap.com, which is packed with fresh features like filtering tickets based on value to find the best odds available, browse the activity feed to stay in the know, a loyalty rewards program that turns sales into extra cash, and much more. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit, and PropSwap will match it up to $500. If you love sports betting, you need to be using PropSwap. With PropSwap, your bet doesn't need to win in order to make money. It just needs to improve. While making your bets, always make sure to go for two. Make two tickets on the same team or player so you can sell one for a profit and keep one to leave yourself some skin in the game. Thousands of buyers across the country are shopping for tickets on PropSwap every day. You can start it today by going to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app. PropSwap is where America buys and sells sports bets. Now, I've had a sneak peek into your brain, Mr. Vreeland. I know some of your picks because I listen to your other 10,000 podcasts that you host every week. So. I listened to Top Turtle today, and I know some of your picks, but it's not going to change where I'm headed with these things. So,
that's surprising because sometimes it does. Sometimes it changes what you're doing.
Yeah, it does. I know. I think I want to be different because it's been paying off. I'm at 58%. You're at 54%. I've cut the money lead down to $70. So this could be the week. We have action-packed. Well, it could be action-packed, but on paper, it's kind of UFC Fight Night Dern versus Hot Higas. Are we going to call her Mahina Hot Higas?
I don't. Not? I'm not going to. You might.
Okay. And is it really Mackenzie Dern or Mackenzie? I don't know how you put an H in that name. Dan? Yeah,
I don't. Yeah. I don't either. But she might because her Brazilian accent's pretty strong.
Yes, which is funny because she's born and raised in California.
Yeah, but she. To be fair, she did spend a whole lot of time there, and her dad is. For those who don't know, Megaton Diaz, who is a very famous Brazilian jiu-jitsu practitioner.
Yes, very true. All right, so this is happening this Saturday, UFC Apex, Enterprise, Nevada. We are talking about, this is a nice early afternoon one for us people on the East Coast. It is prelims, 1:30 Eastern on ESPN+, main card, 4 Eastern on ESPN+. Another fun thing that Jeff likes is we're only down to 10 fights. This is a perfect size card, 10-fight card. We lost. Who do we lose? Jamie Pickett and Laureano Staropoli were supposed to fight, and then one of Pickett's coaches got that COVID thing, which I thought you guys in the States had gotten rid of that. You still have
it? Completely. It's all gone.
Well, so this is hashtag fake news then, right? So anyhow, this has been bumped to, I think, what, 2 weeks ahead, I think? The 23rd, I think those two guys are going to fight now. And then, yeah, more fake news. Sam Hughes got pulled from her fight because I think it says she got COVID. I thought it was one of her coaches, but maybe she had got COVID.
Yeah, it's one of her coaches. Okay. Yeah. She posted on Instagram that her test came back negative.
Okay, good. So anyhow, Sam Hughes had to pull out of her fight against Lupita Godinez, so they had to get a last-minute replacement, which we will actually get into in 1 second. So 10 fights. I want to go at least 60%, so I'm gunning for that six to seven correct picks here. And let us begin, shall we, with lightweight Steve Garcia versus Charlie Ontiveros. Dan did a very dirty trick this week on his interview podcast, Top Turtle MMA podcast. He interviewed both of these people, which makes it very hard to know which one that you should fade because Dan is got his stink on both of them though. Correct?
Yeah, I mean, like, first of all, we've been pretty clear that the top turtle curse is you know, poppycock or what's another word meaning not true. But we'll go with poppycock.
Malarkey.
It's all Jamie Malarkey. So who is really real, which is not good for this metaphor. So, but yeah, it's all poppycock. And but yes, I did in fact interview both of them, both very entertaining gentlemen. So yes, we're gonna have to see which one you pick.
They were very entertaining. Steve Garcia, he can talk, eh?
Yeah, he can. He's a storyteller. I think I asked two or three questions in the whole interview.
Charlie Ontiveros had some good stories, too. So.
Yeah.
Charlie Ontiveros is the American bad boy. He didn't really sound like a bad boy to me.
No, that's, like, it didn't seem like the it didn't seem like the most fitting nickname. Then again, Steve Garcia being Meat Machine also wasn't so fitting.
That was a nice 10-minute story about being named the Mean Machine, though. So it was good, though.
It involved, like all of our good podcasts do, a reference to Keith Jardine, which is pretty much all you can ask for.
That's become a thing. There's like 6 degrees of Keith Jardine, or even less than that. It's like every podcast now he's coming up. So, all right. So these guys are fighting lightweights. We'll go with Ontiveros first. He's 11-7 with 4 knockouts, 2 submissions. Did you know this, Dan? All of his losses come via knockout. That's wild.
So, yeah, I have seen that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why that many. You don't see that stat very often. 7 knockouts, all of his losses. He's 0-1 on the UFC. Guess what? He got knocked out, TKO. So some of these are TKOs, to be fair. He's 0-1 in the UFC, 0-1 in Bellator. He used to be a 185-pounder, but as he told Dan, he was really 173 pounds, I think he said, when you went into that fight.
He can't gain weight. That's insane. Yeah. He's very skinny.
he should be called the American Thin Boy. He was fighting. He was probably his opponent probably 30 pounds heavier than him at least by fight night. You think most middleweights are really lightweights come fight night. So yeah, he went down to welterweight by fight night for some reason. So anyhow, this is probably better for him going into lightweight. I think he said he walks around 170, right? So
this is a much better weight class for him. And he's been fighting at 70 his whole life. This will be his first fight at 55, which is worth keeping an eye on.
Yeah, definitely. So he is 2 inches taller than Garcia, 3 inches of reach. So that's what you would hope for coming down a weight class that you have some size and length. He's at plus 240. The Mean Machine is 11-4 with 8 knockouts. So bells are going off in my head here, Dan. One guy wins by knockout mostly, and one guy gets knocked out a lot. Garcia's 0-1 in the UFC, 1-0 on the Contender Series. He was in Bellator. He was 5-2 in Bellator. He was in Bellator for quite a while. He used to fight at Bantamweight. He fought a Bantamweight. That's wild, eh? Bantamweight against a middleweight is what this fight is basically doing, is going to be. Striking stats in his favor. We're talking about very small sample size, 1 fight or 2 fights in Garcia's case. So striking stats in his favor. He's 13 times more active striking than Ontiveros was in his 1 UFC fight. So grappling stats in his favor also, minus 325. I'll take Garcia. Maybe I'll take him via knockout, too. Make some extra money.
Well, I'm going to differ with you on the very first fight of the night. I'm going to take Ontiveros for a couple of reasons. Number one, that fight in Steve Garcia's debut alarms me a lot more than Charles Ontiveros's. First of all, by the way, I was waiting for how you were going to say Ontiveros, and you said it correctly.
Hard.
Yeah, it's Ontiveros. Well, it could have been Ontiveros, or you could have said it a whole bunch of. I thought for sure you were going to slaughter, but it's Ontiveros. So Charlie Ontiveros is 1 fight. First of all, is with Kevin Holland on short notice, pretty much up weight class,
30 pounds lighter probably.
and he got taken down, but he got taken down and had a weird neck injury, and the fight was stopped. It wasn't even like Kevin Holland threw hands and put him out. So I feel like that fight doesn't send off alarms in my head. And if you go back and look at the people Charlie Ontiveros has lost to, it's like Michael Venom Page and Jeff Neal are on his resume. Like, those are legit dudes. And he went two rounds with Jeff Neal before the doctor stopped it for swelling over the eye. So, you know, like, yes, he has been knocked out a bunch of times. Yes, that is alarming. But also, like, the most recent knockouts don't really scare me. Now, if you look at Steve Garcia's loss in his last fight, he fought a dude who's pretty much shaped just like Charlie Ontiveros. He fought Violent Bob Ross, Luis Pena, who's really tall, who's super skinny, who strikes decently from a distance, and who Steve Garcia could not get down to the ground for the life of him. He tried to, like, four or five times. He succeeded once for, like, a couple of seconds, but, like, really didn't get anything going. And I think the other problem here is, with all of that reach advantage, all of that length, you know, Ontiveros has also got really long legs. He fights with a karate style, which is sometimes hard to get in on the legs of. I think it just poses a lot of issues for Steve Garcia. And when I look at these odds and I see him betting off at plus 250 there, I think you got to take a stab at the dog here.
All right. Stab. I do not, this podcast and myself, we do not condone stabbing dogs. I don't know what Dan does in the woods. But apparently stabbing dog is something that he's came off your tongue pretty easy though, Dan. So I'm going against this. I hope I haven't heard Muggsy on the past couple podcasts. So I'm hoping everything's okay there. But no, I like Ontiveros cutting down too. He gets, I know he was getting knocked out by bigger guys, but now he's going to actually cut weight for maybe the first time in his life. And he's going to get knocked out, Dan. So take that. All right, let's move on. I'm glad we this one you got to leave me, because I don't know anything about the one gal who just stepped in. All I know is she was supposed to fight a contender series next week, and that would be Silvana Gomez Juarez, who's stepping in for Sam Hughes, the aforementioned Sam Hughes, and this is women's strawweight.
Which means we miss out on a phenomenal nickname, maybe one of the best nicknames.
It's Animal, right?
No,
it's Animal.
No, Sam Page.
Stampage, right, which is right up your alley. That's just like, what's her name?
Danimal and the Shanimal.
Yes, Shanimal, yeah. She's fighting Lupita Godinez, who has the better nickname, if you ask me, Loopy. Don't you think every fighter should be named Loopy? Because you got to be a little loopy.
I love that nickname for her.
Loopy Godinez versus Juarez will not be shortchanged either. La Malvada, do you know what that means?
La Malvada.
Malvada.
Malvada, so it's got to be bad something?
Yes, wicked, the wicked, yes.
Oh, okay, so, yeah, because mal means
she
bad.
Is Mexican ticket?
I believe she's Argentinian. She's from Argentina.
Right, she is. She is, yeah, I read that. All right, I knew it was south of me, I just didn't know how far south, so there you go. All right, this break, first of all, do you know much about Juarez?
Yeah, I do. She was going to be at the Contender Series on Tuesday. Right. Of course I do.
All right, so I will give all the stats. Have you seen a betting line? Because I didn't see any betting lines earlier. Let me check one more now.
Yeah.
Oh, good, all right.
Yeah, they're there. It's right now plus 180 for Juarez and negative 210 for Lupi Godinez.
Okay. I got you can get her for plus 194 if you want Juarez. I'm going to give you that. How's that sound? Plus 194 for her, and then minus one, what did we say?
210 for
minus 210. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Let's break down the Wicked. It's hard to go against someone with a name like that, though, because maybe she's really scary and mean and nasty in the cage and has magical powers. She's 10-2 with 6 knockouts, 2 submissions. She will be making a short notice, how about debut? This is very short notice. She just got put into this fight today, I believe. Oh, actually, I think last night Sherdog had her listed already, so she may have known about it. But anyhow, less than a week. She's won her last 3 fights. The last 2 fights she won via TKO. She used to fight up a weight class. Was she normally a flyweight, or is that just the past few fights she was flyweight, or do you know?
I know she fought at flyweight against Ariane Lipsky back in KSW.
Okay,
so
yeah.
I know she has in the past at least a couple of times.
Okay. So, yeah, she's got quite a lot of experience fighting. There's a lot of names on her resume that people will know, like Ariane Lipsky. All of them are losses, basically, but she's fought them. She's an inch taller than Godinez, 4 inches of reach, plus 194 is the best number I could see for her. If you want to know about Loopy, she's 5-1 with 1 knockout, never been finished in a fight. She lost her UFC debut. 9 years younger than Juarez, -210. All right, tell us what you know about Juarez and then break down the fight, and then I'll make my pick.
So Juarez has got some pretty decent grappling, but she really doesn't go to it enough, which is one of my issues with her. The other thing I would note is, you know, I've seen that fight with Lipsky in KSW, which, by the way, for those of you who don't know, KSW, probably one of the best promotions on the earth not named UFC. I might even put it at 2 when I really think about it. The level of talent they have there is outstanding. But she fought for the title against Ariane Lipsky in KSW. And the big issue she had with that fight and with the Poliana Botelho fight, which she had a little earlier in her career, is that when somebody throws a lot of volume in her face, she just kind of backs up and gets out of there and winds up with her back against the cage getting hit. And she just so happens to be fighting somebody who puts an insane amount of volume on you. Lupi Godinez did that to Jessica Penne in her debut. She didn't win because she made some really bad fight IQ choices that involved grappling when she shouldn't grapple. But I think her hands ultimately are good enough to continuously back up Juarez here, make her kind of scared to engage and probably not active enough. And I think that's probably going to win it for Godinez on the judges' scorecards.
All right, I was leaning Godinez, so yes, Lupi is the pick. Lupi over the Wicked. So we agree on that one. I think we also can agree on Keeps. Keeps offers a simple, stress-free way to keep your hair. Convenient virtual doctor consultations and medications delivered straight to your door every 3 months. You don't have to leave your home. Low-cost treatments start at just $10 per month, and Keeps offers generic versions. Discreet packaging and proven results. Keeps has more 5-star reviews than any of its competitors. Prevention is key. Treatments can take 4 to 6 months to see results, so act fast. If you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/SGP to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's keeps.com/SGP to get your first month free. keeps.com/SGP. We also have a newer sponsor. They just came on last podcast. That would be Prediction Strike. Yeah, Jeff. Prediction Strike. Do you wish you could have had stock in a guy like Patrick Mahomes or Christian McCaffrey? Well, now Prediction Strike makes that a real possibility. Prediction Strike is the only performance-based sports stock market where you can buy and sell shares of professional athletes as if they were stocks. It's like Robinhood and DraftKings had a baby. Prediction Strike lets fans create portfolios of their favorite athletes so they can make money and get even closer to the game. Don't just bet on your favorite players, start investing in them. Simply download Prediction Strike's new and easy-to-use app from the App Store or sign up at PredictionStrike.com to create an account. Use code SGPNMMA, then deposit funds to buy, sell, and hold shares of your favorite players. Just like you would real stocks, the value of players will change based upon game performance and supply and demand, and you can trade for shares of players at any time, as long as the player isn't currently in a game. Sign up with promo code SGPNMMA. Receive a free athlete share with your first deposit of $20 or more. All right, moving right along. What's next on the docket? We've got featherweights. We haven't had any bantamweights yet. Last week was all bantamweights. Featherweights, Charles Rosa. We can call him Hosa. You want to call him Hosa?
I do not.
I guess he's American, so we'll call him Rosa. Versus Damon Jackson. Damon Jackson is the Leech, which is a good nickname for the way he fights. And Charles Rosa is Boston Strong. I think you told me off last time that I had to go with Boston Strong, right?
I think, yeah, as a Massachusetts native, if I pick against that nickname, I'd look like a huge asshole, I think.
Okay. A bigger one. The normal, correct? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's okay. What I'm saying.
All right, let's break down Rosa first then, since he's from your side of the world. He's 14-5 with 3 knockouts, 8 submissions. 5-5 in the UFC. Hey, you want to hear a pattern, Dad? Loss, win, yeah. Loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. Every one of his fights in the UFC, he's swapped losses and wins. We're talking 10 fights in a row. I think this is the biggest one we've had since we started breaking these down. That's insane. So he won his last fight. So we know who we have to pick here, right? This is, what did I say? This is featherweight. He used to fight at lightweight and he used to fight at welterweight. Striking and active striking stats in his favor, grappling stats in his favor, +145. Damon the Leech Jackson is 18-4-1 with 1 no contest, 3 knockouts, 14 submissions. He's been knocked out himself 3 times, so 3 of his 4 losses have come via knockout. He's 1-2-1 with 1 no contest in the UFC over 2 stints. He got knocked out his last fight, or actually, he won via KO his last fight. Is that correct? Did he get knocked out, or did he win by KO? I can't remember. Do you remember?
Hank, so you just got just random notes like that?
Yeah, I'm going to check. It says KO last. It could mean he got KO'd or he won by KO. He lost via KO to Ilya Topuria.
Oh, Ilya Topuria, the Ilya Topuria fight, as, yes.
As if Dan doesn't remember something. The one time I need you, Dan.
Yeah, you said that, and I was like, you usually bring this, but also I usually, the Topuria fight was kind of a bummer.
I didn't put KOW, I put KO nothing, and usually I put KOL for loss or KOW for win. No, anyhow, that's enough behind the curtain. You people can't know my magic. 0-1 PFL, 2-0 in Bellator. He's 2 inches taller, 2 inches of reach, 2 years younger, minus 185. I'm going to go against the pattern. I'm going to take Boston Strong Rosa here, Dan. I like the plus 145. I don't think Leach is going to be able to out-grapple him and submit him, which is his modus operandi. So I'm going – Charles Rosa is going to get his first back-to-back winnings – his first winning streak in the UFC in 10 fights.
You're going to be on an island of your own for this
what,
fight.
You're picking against him? Oh, my God.
I'm picking against him. I'm going to take Damon the Leech Jackson. I'm going to take him for a couple of reasons. One of them you should know already. Damon the Leech Jackson trains under... Fortis MMA and Tame Todd.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's first of all a big
multiple
beat.
Camps that you love.
Yeah, that one's a big one. But not only do I really love that camp, but... Here's the thing is you're right. I don't think Damon Jackson is going to take down Charles Rosa, control him, and submit him. I 100% agree with you. I also don't think he's going to try. Instead, I think he's going to use that wrestling defensively. And if this fight takes place on the feet, Damon Jackson is about 30 times better of a striker than Charles Rosa is. Rosa is going to have to desperately shoot takedowns to try to get his offense going. And when that's really the only offense you get going and you're up against a guy who's got good wrestling defense, right? Like Damon Jackson stuffed Mirsad Bechtik a bunch of times and then submitted the guy. So, Rosa, probably not Mirsad Bechtik levels. Jackson handled that fine, although he was losing that fight. I think he'll stuff the takedowns of Rosa because it's pretty much all Rosa is offering at this point. And I think he'll sting him on the feet. So, yeah, I like Damon Jackson here probably by decision, too. I think this fight probably goes to decision no matter where it goes because both are so well-versed in submissions that even if it is on the ground and one of them has an advantage, the defense is just too good here.
You make me feel so dumb. But then Fight Net rolls around and I don't feel so dumb after all. So.
We shall see. We got two differences in three fights. That's pretty
I know.
Wild.
That's wild. Let's move on to some chunky boys, shall we? Heavyweights, Alexander Romanov. You can either spell it with an E, a final E in Alexander, or you can just put DR. I go with the DR. I think that's how it's supposed to be spelled.
I appreciate that. I prefer that spelling.
Exactly. That's the appropriate spelling. So Alexander Romanov versus Jared Vanderha. Let me see. What can I tell you? Vanderha is a mountain, the mountain, and Romanov is King Kong. So this is an epic battle. King Kong versus the mountain.
King Kong is definitely a better nickname.
Exactly. Yeah, especially when you look at the guy, for sure.
Yeah, you go King Kong.
All right, Vanderha is 12. How about 12-5 with 7 knockouts, 3 submissions. So he's a finisher. He's 1-1 in the UFC. He was 1-0 in the Contender Series. 2 inches of height, 5 inches of reach, 2 years younger, striking and active striking stats in his favor, plus 380. And I think Dan doesn't think he's very good, if I remember from previous podcasts. I'm just going out on a limb. I think he's been on your podcast, though. I don't think he said it to his face. I think he told me that, though. Did you not? Am I right here?
He proved me wrong a little bit last
he
time.
He did. So, I think
so
that's what I remember.
I've come around a little bit to him.
Okay. All right. So let's go to King Kong. He's 14-0. Of course, King Kong's undefeated. 5 knockouts, 8 submissions, so everything's a finish except one fight. 3-0 in the UFC, all via finish, kind of via finish. Last fight was finished via a technicality. He basically got finished and couldn't continue the fight, and he won via technical stoppage, I believe. He is a wrestling champ a billion times over. Grappling stats in his favor is minus 550. All right, Dan, break it down.
So I think, first of all, Romanov is a pretty easy pick here, obviously by the negative 550 number. I know I've heard a lot of people say that they're a little bit concerned about his cardio because it did seem to run out against Juan Espino in that last fight, which is why when he got kicked at the balls there at the end, he just was like, no, I definitely can't continue. Let the judges take this. And somehow the judges scored it for him, which I'm not even sure he was winning. Real weird last fight where he just didn't have the gas tank. Vandera does have a decent gas tank. So like a lot of people were like, oh, maybe the dog is live here. But the problem is Romanov got tired because it's really hard to grapple Juan Espino, who is an amazing grappler, right? Like, he might be one of the best heavyweight grapplers right now. You know, it's like Romanov, Espino, and Olenek are, like, the three guys who are, like, super good grapplers at heavyweight. So, like, yes, he tired out against that guy. Jared Vandera gave up a takedown to Harry Hunsucker on the Contender Series and had to reverse that position in order to win. If he gets taken down by Romanov, he will not reverse the position ever, and he will likely go to sleep with either hands on his throat or hands in his face. I'm taking Romanov, and in this one is going to be one we will talk about with props at the end for sure.
Ooh, there we go. He's teasing you. So yeah, I'm taking Romanov also. I'm also using Prize Picks. Tune your picks into Real Cash with Prize Picks. My favorite daily fantasy app. It's fast and it's easy, and it all starts with Prize Picks. Simply pick 2 to 5 players and decide if they will go over or under their stat projection. The more players you pick, the more you can win, up to 10 times your money. Prize Picks is the only way I play. So, Braves. First Braves game's Friday afternoon, right?
Yes. That's correct. 4:30.
Against the Brewers. So we're going to bet $20 on 3 players, Braves players, and we're going to bet that they get over 1.5 hits and walks. Who are the 3 players we're betting on, Dan?
Let's go with Jorge Soler. He's been hot, and he's in the leadoff spot, so he's going to get a lot of at-bats. Freddie Freeman always shows up for playoff games, so we'll use Freddie Freeman. And then we'll use Austin Riley, who quietly had one of the best seasons in baseball this year.
Okay, so there you go. So we're going to bet $20 on those guys, and we're going to win $100. How's that? Five times payout for you. And if you use promo code SGP, you receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100. So Prize Picks promo code SGP. All right. The main event of the prelims, bantamweights, Chris Gutierrez versus Felipe Colares. What do we got? We got El Guapo versus Caboqueo. What does Caboqueo mean? Do you know?
I don't know. I don't speak Portuguese. Sometimes I can figure it out based on the Spanish, because I know enough Spanish that sometimes I can translate it. But Caboqueo, I don't know what that means at all.
Once again, I've stumped Dan twice in the show. Usually it's just like...
Usually I'm better, especially with nicknames.
Usually it's just Canadian trivia I get you on, but no, I got you with these ones. All right, so... Gutierrez is another one from your neck of the woods. Let's see if Dan goes against his fellow New Englander again. All right, let's break down Colares first. He is 10-2 with 2 knockouts, 5 submissions. Never been finished in a fight. 2-2 in the UFC. He is one of those guys with the streak again. Loss, win, loss, win. So he won his last fight. He used to fight at featherweight. This one is down to bantamweight. He's got 2 inches of reach on Gutierrez. He's 3 years younger. He's at plus 205. El Guapo Gutierrez is 16-4-2 with 7 knockouts, 1 submission, 4-1-1 in the UFC. He's 4-0-1 over his last 5. He did win his last fight. He was in the World Series of Fighting previously, where he's 1-1. He was also in Bellator, where he's 1-0. He's an inch taller. Striking stats are in his favor, plus he's 2 times more active striking than Colares, minus 270. I'll take the chalk again here, and I'll take Gutierrez.
Yeah, I'm going to go Gutierrez, too. For me, Gutierrez, just much more well-versed striker here. And he does a really good job of working the body and the legs, which I think over time is just kind of going to wear Colares away. Like, I don't think Colares is going to have any chance of sticking around in this fight. I don't think he's going to have enough success with the takedowns to make that an avenue. And he's not anywhere near the kind of striker that Chris Gutierrez is. So this one's kind of an easy one for me. I like Chris Gutierrez. I think this one is probably doesn't need that much breakdown. I mean, he's a negative 250 favorite for a reason, and he looks every bit of that much.
Yeah, and he's on a nice little run in the UFC, too. So that wraps up the prelims on ESPN Plus starting at 1:30 Eastern. We'll tell you about our last 2 sponsors, and we'll plow through the main card ad-free. Mint Mobile, after years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by big wireless providers, if we learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when I first heard that Mint Mobile offers premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month, I thought, what's the catch? But after speaking with them and using their service, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce, that they're the first company to sell wireless service online only. By cutting out retail stores, there's no crazy overhead costs that get passed down to you in the form of mystery fees. Instead, Mint just passes on sweet savings direct to you. For people looking for extra savings, Mint Mobile offers premium wireless for just $15 a month. All plans come with unlimited talk and text, plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and keep your same phone number along with all your existing contacts. If you're not 100% satisfied, Mint Mobile has you covered with their 7-day money-back guarantee. Switch to Mint Mobile and get premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped to your door for free, go to mintmobile.com/sportsgp. That's mintmobile.com/sportsgp. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month, mintmobile.com/sportsgp. And speaking of SGP, make sure you download our app if you haven't already. The SGPN app is now live in the App Store and Google Play Store. The app gives you easy access to all our picks and podcasts. And don't forget to please toss us an app review and download the app today. All right. This train just keeps moving along the track, Dan. Chugga chugga choo choo and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, I like that you keep stealing slogans from other co-hosts.
Where are we headed to next, Dan?
The main card.
Oh, is the main card brought to us by anyone, Dan?
I think you just called actually it Mint Mobile. Yeah, Mint Mobile.
I have to tell you about all our sponsors because they keep the lights on in the SGPN MMA Gambling Podcast offices, right, Dan?
That's correct. Yeah,
studios. All right, I think that's enough. Moving right along. Middleweights, Phil Haas, the man who Dan can never fade ever again. Darren Wynn. People have mentioned this is like mini John Jones versus mini Daniel Cormier.
Yeah.
Because it's Haas is like, is Haas Jackson Wink?
He might be.
Because people are saying he's John Jones' prodigy. And
no, he's –
He was Jackson Wink originally.
We just Tapology says Hard Knocks 365, which is now Sanford MMA.
Yeah. He started out in Jackson Wink from 2014 to 2017. So I think he was taking on a John Jones' wing, and then Darren Wynn is one of Danny Cormier's boys. So it's the battle between the two of them. All right. Megatron is Haas' nickname, which is great. It makes me laugh. Wynn does not have one. We'll just call him Mini DC. DC Light. Wynn is 7-2 with 4 knockouts. 2-2 in the UFC. He won his last fight. He's 1-0 in Bellator. He's had a lot of trouble missing weight, which is funny because he's, 4'5" or something like that? He's very short, man. He's 5'6", and he's a middleweight. I'm used to fight at light heavyweight. He's also popped dirty and drug tests in the past. What else can I tell you? He is a wrestling champ. He's the more active striker of the two. He's at plus 240. Megatron Haas, 11-2 with 7 knockouts, 2 submissions, 3-0 in the UFC, 1-1 in the Contender Series. He's won 7 straight fights, 1-0 in Bellator, 1-1 in World Series of Fighting. He was a pro Muay Thai fighter. He's 6 inches taller, 7 inches of reach, striking stats in his favor, minus 325. Another easy pick, Haas.
Yeah, Haas is an easy pick here. I will say this, too. So I picked against him a bunch of times earlier in his career based on a loss I saw on The Ultimate Fighter, because he was on The Ultimate Fighter, where he lost to Andrew Sanchez. Everything comes back to The Ultimate Fighter.
Yes, thank you.
But also a loss he had on his first stint on Contender Series to Julian Marquez. But he seems to be a different fighter than that now. And I will say this. I faded him in, I think, all 3 of his wins so far. And the crazy thing is that all of those losses or all of those wins aged even better. Like I was really high on Jacob Melkin, and he made him, he knocked him out in 18 seconds. Jacob Melkin then showed up in his next fight and looked like an absolute beast, right? Like Jacob Melkin went in there and he beat the shit out of Abdul Razak Al-Hassan. So like maybe my, assumptions about Jacob Melkin were not wrong. I said the same thing about Nassourdine Imavov. I was like, he should definitely beat him. Haas took care of him by majority decision. Then Imavov comes out and beats the hell out of Ian Heinisch, knocks him out, and now he's fighting Edmund Shabazian. So, like, those wins have aged really well. He has got a ton of skills. He's really great positionally against the cage. He's got great power with his overhand right. You know, he's got decent submission skills. I just think Wynn is kind of a one-trick pony at this point. Like, he wrestles, and if that doesn't work, he's got nothing. And because he's so short, he can't get on the inside against anybody. So, yeah, I think Hawes rolls here quite easily.
So this is the time he's going to lose then, I guess, right? Since you've picked he's proved you wrong every time in the cage. This is the one.
This is my new Michael Johnson, because that's Michael Johnson for his whole career for me. I'm not sure I've ever picked a Michael Johnson fight right.
Good to know. If where's that guy been? He hasn't fought for a while, has he?
Yeah, he hasn't, but I don't also know that I'm super bummed about it.
Very true. Moving on, women's flyweight, Sabina Mazo versus Maria Agapova, who's finally back. So we got the Colombian queen versus no nickname. Agapova is 9-2 with 3 knockouts, 4 submissions, 1-1 in the UFC. She got TKO'd her last fight. She was 2-0 in Invicta and 1-0 in the Contender Series. She's won 3 of her last 4 fights, all via finish, and she's not fought since August of 2020. She's at plus 135. The Colombian queen is 9-2 with 2 knockouts, 1 submission, never been finished in a fight, 3-2 in the UFC. She's won 3 of her last 4, lost her last fight, though. She was the LFA champion previously. Inch of height, 2 inches of reach, striking and active striking stats in her favor, minus 170. I'm going to go against Dan. I'm taking Sabina Mazo here, and Dan's going to go with the underdog, I believe.
Yeah, I am going to go with Maria Agapova.
I know these things.
Yeah, it couldn't be because I recently wrote an article about why Maria Agapova is an underdog to keep an eye on. But that being said, the reason she is an underdog that you should definitely keep an eye on here is because there's just so many people writing her off due to that last loss. And the fact that she lost to Shannon Dobson is, first of all, not good. But if you look at that fight, it's pretty much because she just emptied the tank looking for the finish and didn't get it, and then suddenly was really tired. You have to imagine she's not going to do that again. You have to imagine she's probably worked on that. And what's the one thing we've noticed that Sabina Mazo has so wrong with her when she fights? It's that she can't seem to stop the takedowns. If you looked at her against Alexis Davis, I mean, it cost her the fight, right? She was just on the bottom against Alexis Davis for the entirety of the fight. And we're talking about Agapova here, who has really good wrestling and pretty good submission offense. So, yeah, I really like Agapova in this fight. I think she's a very live dog, and I think the wrestling here probably gets it done.
Yeah, not super positive. This is by no means my lock pick of the night, but we'll go against each other. Makes it more interesting. How about flyweights? Let's see what we do here. Tim Elliott. Oh, I know your pick here. Tim Elliott versus Matias Nicolau. Somehow I know your pick here too, Dan. Amazing, eh? All right, let's tell you that you would think Tim Elliott would have a nickname, but he doesn't. Surprising, right? He seems like a nickname type of guy.
No, wasn't he? Didn't he used to be? Hang on, let me think about this. He used to have one, I think. Or am I thinking of the other guy who is a flyweight who used to sound like Tim? His name used to sound like Tim Elliott too. The one that fought John Lineker. Do you know the one I'm talking about? Anyway, continue. I'm gonna get the answer on it.
His name sounds like Tim Elliott. That's funny. Yeah. Yeah, you get on that. I'll tell you about Tim Elliott. He's 17-11-1 with 3 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's been subbed 5 times in his career.
I was thinking of Phil Harris. Phil Harris.
Not even.
Tim Elliott and Phil Harris are just like generic white guy
names. It's true. It's true. I thought you were laughing that he's been subbed 5 times. You're like, what a sucker. Been subbed 5 times in his career. He's 6-9 in the UFC, 69, over 2 stints. He's won 2 straight fights, so he's on the upswing. He was also on The Ultimate Fighter. He went 4-0, and then he got a shot at Demetrius Johnson and actually took it to him early on in that fight. But then ended up losing, of course, because that's what happens when you fight Demetrius Johnson, at least in that stage of his career. He used to fight at bantamweight. He was the Titan FC champion for quite a long time. He's an inch taller than Nicolau. He's at plus 155. Matias Nicolau is 16-2-1 with 4 knockouts, 5 submissions. Both of his losses have come via KO. He's 4-1 in the UFC over 2 stints as well. He was wrongfully cut when the UFC was deciding they're going to get rid of their flyweight division. He got axed, and then he got brought right back when they decided, hey, we're going to keep it. He won his last fight. He's won 3 straight, actually, 9 of 10 fights. 2-1 on the Ultimate Fighter, same season as Elliott was on. He used to fight at bantamweight also, 7 years younger than Elliott. Striking and active striking stats in his favor, minus 195. I keep giving my picks out early, but I think we're agreeing on this one. Nikolai is the pick.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Matthews and Nicolau too. The thing for me about Tim Elliott is, like, if you go back and look at everybody who's beat him, it's all pretty obvious, the skill set that beats him, right? Brandon Royval, Askar Askarov, Davison Figueiredo, in addition to being three of the best flyweights in the world, they all grapple really well, both offensively and defensively. And really, to me, I think that is ultimately the tough part for Tim Elliott, is that, like, if a guy can grapple offensively and defensively well, threaten with submission stuff, takedowns, I think he has a tough time. And I think Nicolau is that, and all of that while being better on the feet too. So
yeah,
I'm not super confident in this one because I do trust Elliott's scrambling in, you know, Nicolau has kind of slipped up a couple of times in grappling, but yeah, ultimately, I think Nicolau here is probably going to control the position, force him to stand a little bit more than he's comfortable doing, and probably win that way.
All right, moving on. Co-main event, Randy Rudeboy Brown versus Jared Knight Train, Knight spelt wrong, N-I-T-E, Train Gooden. So obviously I'm going with Rudeboy because I don't like the misspellings, especially Knight Train. So. And this is a welterweight fight, and this has co-main event written all over it, doesn't it, Dan?
You know, somebody said that to me. Randy Brown is worthy of a co-main event at this point. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I feel like people are sleeping out. He's 3-1 in his last four with only a loss to Vicente Luque. That is a and knocked out Brian Barberena.
But let me tell you about Knight Train, and we'll see if you think he's worthy of a
he is not.
Co-main
event. I can tell you.
He's 18-6. That sounds nice. 8 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's 1-2 in the UFC. He dropped his first two, was given a last chance, and he won via KO his last fight. Used to fight at middleweight. He's 3 years younger, the more active striker of the two, +195. Rudeboy Brown, 13-4, 6 knockouts, 5 submissions. Very well-rounded. Actually, both these guys are. 7-4 in the UFC. He's won 3 of his last 4. Like Dan said, he won via submission his last fight. Actually, all of his past 3 wins have come via finish. 3 inches taller, 1 inch of reach, striking stats in his favor, -250. Tell everybody why we're picking Randy Brown.
Because he's a better fighter.
I write that. I feel stupid when I write that a lot of times, but that's what it comes down to sometimes.
There's pretty much no reason to pick Jared Gooden in this, I don't think. He's tough. Like, I'll give him that. But, like, ultimately, you know, he's just – he's not anywhere near as good of a fighter as Randy Brown is. His last win came by knockout, probably saved his career against a guy who probably lost his contract. So that's tough for Jared Gooden. But ultimately, I would say Randy Brown, been in there with some of the best guys, is a proven finisher, right? Like, we're probably talking about him having won 5 out of 6 had he not been knocked out by the weirdest Nico Price knockout. And that is a sentence right there, by the way. The weirdest Nico Price knockout of all time. You know, in wins over Mickey Gall, Brian Barberena, Warley Alves, Cowboy Oliveira. Like, he's just a beast. I think he'll probably use his wrestling and grappling here to get it done so he can stay away from that, you know, surprising one punch from Jared Gooden. But, yeah, this should be Randy Brown all day.
There we go. Main event is actually worthy. These ladies are worthy of a main event. Is this Dern's first main event? I know Rodriguez has had one.
I don't know if Mackenzie Dern's ever made an event. I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. So it's Mackenzie Dern versus Mahina Rodriguez. You may know her as Marina Rodriguez, whatever's better. Women's straw weight. So 5-round fight. No nicknames for either lady. Let's go with Rodriguez. She's 14-1-2, 6 knockouts, 1 submission, never been finished in a fight. She's 4-1-2 in the UFC. She's won her past 2 fights. Used to fight at flyweight, weight class up. She was on the Contender Series where she was 1-0. She's 2 inches taller, got 2 inches of reach, striking stats in her favor, plus she's the more active striker of the two ladies. She's at +135. Dern is 11-1 with 7 submissions, never been finished in a fight, 6-1 in the UFC. She's won 4 straight fights, last 3 of them via submission. She's 1-0 in Invicta. She used to also fight at a flyweight, had a lot of weight issues, a lot of weight cutting issues in the past, but that seems to clear things up at a lower weight class too, surprisingly. She's a multi-time BJJ champion. She's 6 years younger, minus 170. I'm going to go against you, Dan. I'm taking the plus money.
I'm taking Rodriguez. I think you're insane.
10% takedown accuracy for Mackenzie Dern. You've badmouthed her takedowns on this very podcast before. So
let me quickly badmouth the takedown defense of Marina Rodriguez because it's not
that bad.
Good.
It's in the 60s.
How did it get to the 60s? Who is she stuffing that made it in the 60s, dude? Like go back and look at maybe who she stops takedowns in order to get it. It's probably like 30 takedowns from Jess Aguilera or something like that. Or
how dare you?
You know, maybe she stopped a couple of Randa Marcoses, who, by the way, she drew with Randa Marcos. Like, it's the best result
Canadian,
Randa Marcos
so that's what happens.
Has had in a really long time. She's been taken down in every single of her last four fights, including by Michelle Waterson, who's an atomweight, who I don't think of as a good wrestler.
She's the karate hottie, Dan.
Yeah, you can call her whatever you want, but I'm not going to call her a good wrestler here. And the other thing, too, I would mention is that Mackenzie Dern has gotten better in her last two fights, like substantially better. You know, like you could see in the Virna Jandiroba fight or Jandiroba fight if the announcers have their way. Jandiroba fight where she has started to put together hands. And granted, not hands like Marina Rodriguez has, but – she's throwing overhands that dip into single legs. She's got extra trips. She's putting together punch combinations that get her into the clinch. Yes, I agree with you entirely that I don't think that her takedown defense is like, you know, world beater level. But I will say this. She doesn't need to have Marina Rodriguez on the ground very long to submit her. Marina Rodriguez, yes, did survive against somebody like Carla Esparza. She did survive against Cynthia Calvillo, who both of which took her down a combined 8 times. She did survive with Randa Marcos, who also took her down twice. But at the end of the day, she's not going to survive with Mackenzie Dern. Mackenzie Dern is a different animal on the mat, and I don't think Rodriguez has what it takes to keep her off of her neck.
We'll see when she lights her up on the feet. We'll see, Dan. But I'm glad we're disagreeing on this. It'll be fun. I'll take my plus 135 all day long, Dan. All right, so that's the card. Which fight should we be most excited about watching?
I'm excited just to see Alexander Romanov do Alexander Romanov things.
Of course, chunky guy.
Yeah, not only is he a chunky guy, he's a chunky guy who will pick you up over his head and, like, suplex you, like, WWE style. It looks like Kurt Angle doing a suplex back in the day. So
the Olympic slam, perhaps?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if he'll go Olympic slam, but didn't he used to do like a whole bunch of like German suplexes right in a row and then rip the singlet off and then use the ankle lock? He won't do that much, but he is going to do some pretty fun things. So I'm looking forward to that. I am looking forward to this main event. While I did just go in real hard on Mackenzie Dern, I do think Marina Rodriguez is a very interesting test for her and one that she needs to know she can pass in order to fight people like Rosnana Yunus or Weili Zhang, right? Because, like, if she can't get by the striking of Marina Rodriguez to wrestle and submit, she's not going to get by those other ones. So, like, this is the perfect litmus test for her to see what she's able to do. So I'm excited for that as well. Apart from that, I mean, like, I think the first fight of the night's going to be wild. Steve Garcia and Charlie Ontiveros, that is going to be – it's going to be nuts. So I guess those three would be the three things I'm looking forward to.
There you go. All right. We want some – you teased us with some props. So you got props. And, of course, Jong, our friend Jong in the Slack, he wants the massive parlay. So I told him you would do a 10-fight parlay for every fight on the you will do a parlay for maybe you're not up to that, but
you will ten fights. You can just go back and make a parlay.
Exactly, that's true. Never mind.
Like we that's all of them. Like there's only 10 on this card, so we're gonna skip that. But I will say the two props that I really like on this card is I'm gonna start by taking Alexander Romanov by submission. I think he probably gets it done with his sub skills. He's got really good submission skills. He also seems, when he's in a position to punch, less interested in punching than looking for the submission. So I say he submits Jared Vandera. You can get it at plus 155, which is a pretty good number for a guy who's a negative 600 favorite.
Yeah, it's really good.
I'm really into that. I'm also going to take Randy Brown, and here's the funny way that I'm going to take Randy Brown. I'm going to say Randy Brown wins by submission. He picked up a submission his last time out. Gooden, not great on the ground. Randy Brown's got surprisingly good wrestling. You know, one-arm rear naked choke on Cowboy Oliveira last time. And you can get it at plus 420. So, you know, is it a little bit of a large stab? Because, yeah, he's probably more likely to win a decision here at TKO. But I think there's a good enough chance that plus 420 is kind of an interesting number. So, yeah, I like that one. And let's throw that parlay together for our buddy in the Slack channel. So I'm going to start with Randy Brown. I think Randy Brown is a must-have in parlays. He's going to beat the hell out of Jared Gordon. Jared Gooden. I'm also going to take Chris Gutierrez. I think that one's a slam dunk. And I'm going to take Phil Haas. Those are the easy ones right off the bat. Put them in every single parlay you're going to do. I'm going to say if you want to make it super interesting, we're going to pick Lupita Godinez, and then we're going to pick one underdog too. So we're going to do a 5-1. The first four, I'm super confident.
Wow.
Randy Brown, Chris Gutierrez, Phil Haas, Lupita Godinez. All four of those people are for sure winning. So then we're going to add an underdog into the mix. And there's a whole bunch of different ones you could go with. I'm going to go with Maria Agapova because I think she's the most likely one to win there. Throw those five together, you're getting 10-1. That's usually right around what I'm promising you guys. You guys love the bomb parlays. I'm a little bit more disciplined than that. But you go nuts. Randy Brown, Chris Gutierrez, Phil Haas, Lupita Godinez, and Maria Agapova.
Have any of these come through, Dan?
We don't track. Ask June. Like he probably, if he's playing them, if he's tailing me on these, he'd know.
That's true. That is true. All right, let's pick some locks. I think I'm first to go this week. I'm going to take Randy Brown. That's a pretty easy lock. -250. I'll take my $40. So he's my lock.
I think that's what I was planning on doing. So now let me scan down.
You said you like Gutierrez and you liked Haas. They were your other.
I think I'll take Gutierrez. I think he handles Felipe Calares pretty easily, and he's got a slightly better number than Haas does.
Yep. All right. There you go. We did it. All right. Anything else we need to tell these kids, Dan?
I think we got it.
We got it. All right. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, Jeff Fox Writer. He's Gumby Vreeland. Get in on the Slack channel. It's lots of fun for whatever sport you're into, but especially the fight channel is a lot of fun in there in the SGPN Slack. Lots of talking and giving advice, especially on fight nights, is very, very busy in there. And make sure you subscribe, like I said, at the top of the show. Subscribe to the MMA Gambling Podcast feed so you can get our advice the second it drops. And read all our good stuff over on the sportsgamblingpodcast.com. I think that's all I really have to tell you. We'll be back on Sunday to tell you how amazing all of my picks did. And Dan will have excuses for why all of his lost, right?
That's not all of them. Some of them will win.
Some, it's true. Some of them win. Until then, he is the Danimal. I am Shock Juice. And we will catch you on Sunday.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.